There's a cell phone here. What is this?
Thank you.
Good before afternoon, actually. So it's like 30 minutes before lunch. I think about lunch myself and switch is a coffee after the lunch. I am Wakilat El-Sisi. I am working with Dr. Peter Herset in the Abomology Lab, Purdue University. My project, we are trying to create better understanding on how apple trees regulate flowering and crabwood. Today, I will talk about this particular experiment, spur versus whole tree regulation of apple flowering. So the outline for my talk today, I will have introduction, objectives, methods, results, and conclusion. Happy apple fruit in the middle. As brief introduction, what we think we know about apple flowering. Yes, we know that fruit production is highly dependent on flowering frequency. We know that irregular flowering leads to economic loss. And we know about some factors that contribute to apple flowering, especially crop load and seed number. In some high-value apple cultivars, like Golden Delicious here in the picture, Honeycrisp, the cultivar that I am using in this experiment, we have a very famous phenomenon, biennial or alternate bearing, when we have years with high flowering and high crop load, followed by year or years with low flowering or low crop load. So let's think about this more. In this picture, if you look here, you will find one tree full of flowers. Just next to it, another tree with no flowers. But is it really with no flowers? And is this tree really with everything has flowers on it? Okay, let's look in more details. In the tree when we think we have no flowers, we still have spots or area when we have some flowers, right? You can see there with the blue circles. And if you look deep in the blue circles, you will find high density of flowers inside these blue circles. And also here, when we have high flowering, we still have areas when we don't have flowers. So this leads us to think about what really controls this. Is it local within the spur control or whole tree regulation? The surprise is at the end. So if we think about the general or the whole tree regulation, we know that higher crop loads inhibit flowering. And if we think about the local within spur effect on eternal bloom, we know that the non-fruiting spurs or the resting spurs, they lead to local promoting effect. They most likely will bloom next year. And the fruiting spurs, they lead to local inhibiting effect. They most likely will not bloom next year in biennial cultivars. Okay, let's look about this. Our objectives from this experiment is to investigate a spur versus whole tree regulation of apple flowering, and we need to explain the role of some factors contribute to flowering like crop load, seed number, and burst length. Methods. We started this experiment by using 42 uniform trees, and we ranged the fruit number from 30 to 240, one or two fruits per spur, and after this we follow that by hand thinning. So what does this mean? We have seven different treatments. In our treatments, we have either one fruit per spur, as you see at the bottom there, or two fruits per spur. So some treatments one fruit, some treatments two fruits. And after this, we have different levels of crop load for the whole tree. So we have within the spur different 1 and 2, and within the whole tree we have different from 30 to 240. And we have this very nice cute tags with different colors. We write over them the number, we hang them around the spur, and this helps us to keep tracking for our samples to know which bud, for which fruit, for which burst length, and this will help us at the end to run regression analysis. So here is the treatments. If you look at the treatments, you'll have from 1 to 7, number of fruits per tree from 30 to 240, Number of fruiting is per tree 15 to 120. Number of fruits per spear 2 or 1. So for the first one, treatment 1, we have 30 fruits per tree only on 15 spears. Treatment 2, we have 30 fruits per tree, the same number as treatment 1, but on 30 spears. And we keep going the same way. After this, what we measure, at time of harvesting, we harvest our fruits, we write the number of the tag over the fruit, and we take fruit weight, seed number, and fruit number. After this, at dormancy, we take the pears, we measure pears length, we cut the bud under the microscope, and we look at flower formation. We run regression and contrast analysis. The results. And this is very, very interesting. So when you have two fruits per spear with different crab load for the whole tree, you have flower rate most likely the same. But when you have one fruit per spear, as the crab load increases, the proportion of flowering decreases. So let's look about this in different way. Here in this figure, you have the effect of fruit number per spear and total crab load on return bloom. Here you have crab load, number of fruits per tree, increasing from 30 to 240, and there you have the proportion of flowering from 1 to 7, 0.1 to 0.7. When you have one fruit per spear, you can see easily that there is drop on return bloom for this specific tagged spears. So what will happen when you have two fruits per spear? We thought and we expected also to have decrease, right? But what happened that through, as we increase the crop load, we still have the same proportion of return bloom for this tagged spear, most likely the same. And the slope is very clear. Okay, let's think about this. So what does it mean? When I have two fruits per spear, I have inhibition through the line as the crop load increase. When I have one fruit per spear, I still to have decrease in the proportion of flowering as the crop load increase. Here is the answer. Whole tree effect, yes, whole tree effect will be clearer when you have one fruit per spear as the crop load increase. And the within spear effect is already there when you have two fruits per spear. The inhibition starts early. So here we have the whole tree effect and the within spear effect. So another very interesting result in this experiment, that we found out that the average burst length have negative significant impact on return bloom. So we thought that the longer the burst, the most likely this burst will form a flower, right? Everyone agree with that? But we found out, like, when you have burst longer than 20 centimeters, most likely this will not give you flower. And we are conducting more experiments in our lab to look in more details about this specific results. And the average bud diameter have positive relationship with return bloom. So in conclusion, local spear effect is stronger at low crab load than at high crab loads. With two fruits per spear, flowering is inhibited by local spear effect even at low crab loads. High crab loads decreases flowering when we have one fruit per spear. It might be very interesting for the growers to know that Honeycrisp needs to be thinned to one fruit per spear. And also, when they are going to prune, in Honeycrisp, probability of return bloom decreases as purse length increases. I would like to acknowledge my committee members, led by Dr. Peter Herseth, Dr. Handa, Dr. Michael Bart, and Dr. Poproit, and the pomology team. I give them a very, very hard time to manually send 42 trees in no time, and to put all of these tags, 2,160 tags, after this harvest, all of this, being Khalil, Jake, Fatima, Laura, Andreas, and Wendy. The funding resource, the Egyptian government and Purdue University. And here is this beautiful honeycrisp fruit with the Sharpie cap. So thank you.
Plenty of time for questions.
Yes, Dr.
Essie. Thank you for great presentation. I guess my question is for you and Peter both. In more vigorous root stock versus dwarf root stock, we have seen as long as a month earlier terminal bud production formation. Do you think that as a result of this earlier terminal bud, which is on the top of this birch root, that would be one reason that you see less of the return bloom on the more vigorous ones?
I mean, it's awesome question. And actually, we are running experiment specifically about what we just mentioned right now in our lab. So we are trying to, we have like annual and biennial cultivar, and we tag them fruiting and non-fruiting, and we measuring their length through the growing season to see when exactly every purse will terminate growing. At the end, we will harvest these purses and we will look at flowering initiation, and this will help us to see about the flowering formation versus the time. Thank you.
So gibberellic acid concentrations, high KIA concentrations in fruit set are correlated with flower initiation as well again. So with that in mind, have you planned or have you looked at GA and also seed number associated with two fruit versus one fruit?
So the question is about GA and how it inhibits flowering because the level of GA is high at fruit set, right? Okay, so in another experiment, we are trying to apply local sprays of GA, and we plan to run gene expression analysis to see if this local spray of GA, we know that this local spray, it already inhibited flowering. We applied on the specific spurs and it inhibited flowering. And we plan to look at the expression of flowering genes in response to this application and also the expression of plant growth regulators related genes in response to this application. Did this answer your question?
Yeah, and then just address the seed number.
I mean, yeah. We logged the seed number and we didn't find a significant impact or return bloom, local significant impact or return bloom for seed number on flowering. I mean, so yeah, the number of seeds on the spur don't affect return bloom based on our results.
Doesn't affect.
No.
Can I just add, Clive, we just started a experiment that Wendy's running looking at a genomics approach to looking at gibberellins and seeds of biennial versus annual cultivars. So we just started that. So
and also, and also, I mean, think about this. Most of the annual cultivars, all of them, they are full of seeds. And sometimes some annual cultivars, they have higher number of seeds than the biennial cultivars. So why it inhibits flowering? Why we think that seeds inhibit flowering in the biennial, but not in the annual? It's another way to think about it, right?
Yeah, but by default, you must have more seeds when you've got two fruit.
Yes? But not always, because sometimes you have one fruit with 17 seeds, and sometimes you have like two fruits with, and both of them have like 10 seeds.
We have time for one more question.
What was the timing of the thinning crop load adjustment?
We start the treatment by tagging. So we go through the 42 trees and we tag all of these tags, and after this we thin the trees, and we do this we start a time of vital 4 for 2 weeks.
Let's thank Mokis for his time.
Thank you.